From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. The size of President Bush's request for additional funding for Iraq and Afghanistan shocked many in Congress this week. The $87 billion figure follows $79 billion already appropriated, and it pushes the cost of intervention in Iraq far above what the administration had predicted before the war. NPR's John Inste reports on why earlier administration estimates missed the mark.
Prior to the war in Iraq, the Bush administration was extremely reluctant to put a price tag on the cost of military action and reconstruction. In fact, the earliest estimate may have helped end the career of the president's top economic advisor, Lawrence Lindsay. He told the Wall Street Journal last September that the cost would be 1 to 2% of GDP. That translates to between $100 and $200 billion. Lindsay was immediately rebuked. A couple months later, he was gone, and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld gave this estimate on ABC's This Week.
Office of Management and Budget estimated it would be something under $50 billion.
Outside estimates say up to $300 billion.
Baloney.
Ultimately, the expectation in Washington, inside and outside the administration, became that the war and its aftermath would cost around $100 billion, says Rick Barton of CSIS, the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
That number has now been exceeded by at least 50%. I'd say we're in the $150 to $200 billion range.
It is the post-combat costs that have boosted the price dramatically, says Barton, who runs the CSIS Iraq Reconstruction Project. The problem, says Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institution, is that the administration had only one plan, and it only half succeeded. It called for decapitating Saddam's regime and destroying the Republican Guard during the war, but keeping part of Iraq's regular army and security services intact so they could handle post-war policing and security. The second part of the plan failed, and in the security vacuum, looting and sabotage cost billions in damage. Michael O'Hanlon.
The administration wanted to believe and wanted the American public to believe the more optimistic scenario. I don't believe it was intentionally duplicitous, but I think it was intentionally Pollyannish. However, the plan didn't work, and we somehow believed our theory of victory so much that we didn't make allowance for what would happen if it didn't quite play out the way we hoped.
The Bush administration should have trained a force of 15,000 U.S. troops to handle post-war security, says Rick Barton of CSIS. He advised as much, he says, but was ignored.
I think it was clear that the war planning received probably 100 times the amount of attention that the peace planning did.
Throughout the buildup to the war, the Bush administration played down the costs of rebuilding Iraq. It repeated often that U.S. forces were likely to be greeted as liberators and suggested Iraq's oil revenues would offset a large portion of reconstruction costs. Here's Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz before the House Budget Committee late in March of this year.
The oil revenues of that country could bring between $50 and $100 billion over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. Now, there are a lot of claims on that money, but we're not dealing with Afghanistan that's a permanent ward of the international community. We're dealing with a country that can really finance its own reconstruction and relatively soon.
But even in March, says Roger Dewan of PFC Energy, a consulting firm, that number was optimistic.
That was never been a realistic number. That's, again, a romantic view of the oil sector in Iraq and its capabilities.
The consensus among energy experts before the war was that Iraqi oil revenue would be under $50 billion over the next 3 years. The administration this week lowered its estimate to about $50 billion over that period. Here's the president's press secretary, Scott McClellan, briefing reporters yesterday.
The infrastructure was worse than we anticipated going in. It was not an open society, so there were things we did not know about the infrastructure that we have now since learned, since we have liberated the Iraqi people.
But Roger Dewan says it was easy to know what was going on with Iraq's oil infrastructure before the war.
There was a very extensive review done by a company for the UN in 2000 about the state of the oil sector in Iraq, which is the one we based our forecast on. And that study made very clear that actually the facilities and the capacity to produce oil in Iraq was under threat.
The U.S. is trying to convince other nations to help fund Iraq's reconstruction. Few commitments have been forthcoming. Michael O'Hanlon says the Pentagon is already planning for costs in 2005 and 2006. He thinks the U.S. could spend a total of $250 billion or more before it's all over in Iraq. John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.